The biting wind will send temperatures from cold to bone chilling. I'll time out the chilliest weekend hours and when we go from 17 to 70.
There's this loud banging. I think there's a gunshot.
Plus, just released 911 calls capturing the terrifying moments. Two women were shot and killed in an Apex neighborhood.
A gun confiscated from a 14-year-old at Northwood High School in Pittsboro. What we know about the threat they made before deputies showed up at their door.
Well, here we go. Thanks for joining us at 7 o'clock. This second Arctic blast is on the way. Tonight, wind chills will be in the teens. The frigid air is expected to continue throughout your weekend. Good evening. Good to have you with us. I'm Dan Haggerty. Morning temperatures tomorrow be around 22 degrees, even colder Sunday morning. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center tracking this Arctic Air Force. Kat, those wind chills could reach the single digits.
They could, Dan. So let's time out the wind chill because the wind out there tonight, it is brisk. 8 is the forecast wind chill at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning in Roxboro. Lower teens here in the Triangle. 8 for Southern Pines. And it feels like about 15 degrees when you get out of bed in Fayetteville in the morning. Not much recovery during the day. Lunchtime wind chills range from the upper teens to the mid-20s, and then throughout the afternoon staying quite cold. If you do have Saturday night dinner plans, bring your warmest coat. It'll feel like 15 in Roxboro and South Hill, 19 in the Triangle, 20 in Rocky Mount, and 21 in Fayetteville. Tomorrow night between about 10 p.m. and midnight, I think that's when we have the best chance for single-digit wind chills in the Triangle. Could feel more like 8 or 9 degrees here, 5 in Roxboro. So it is really cold, but the winds do settle down a bit overnight tomorrow into Sunday morning. If we look ahead to Sunday morning, though, it is still quite cold. Feels like 9 in Roxboro, 11 in Southern Pines, and 12 in the Triangle. The high only 36 tomorrow, 41 on Sunday with dry weather, but a huge temperature turnaround coming our way. I'll let you know the 2 days where we have highs in the 70s coming up, Dan.
Hard to believe. All right, Kat, thank you.
Good evening. I'm Mark Boyle in the Live Center right now. For the past couple of days, there has been a search for an Edgecombe County woman who's accused of murder. She was spotted in Raleigh. Take a look at these photographs. They're from an ATM surveillance camera. The Edgecombe County Sheriff's Department says that the suspect here, Vicki Russell, spotted in Raleigh. She's accused of killing her boyfriend, a 60-year-old man identified as Alexander Atkinson. Several different photos here taken over a course of a couple of days, but they're releasing these to try and generate some more interest as, Dan, they work to track her down. Again, these are ATM surveillance photos of the suspect, Vicki Russell. If you know who she is, where she is, you have to call authorities right away. Back to you.
All right. Important story there, Mark. Thank you. 14-year-old accused of bringing a gun to school and then threatening to use it on campus is facing criminal charges. The Chatham County Sheriff's Office says the student brought the gun to Northwood High School. That's in Pittsboro. It was on Wednesday when this happened. Since then, deputies seized the gun and are working now to file juvenile petitions. WRL's Carly Haynes is live at the school where extra security was on campus today. Carly.
Dan, we just spoke with a parent, with the Parent Teacher Association, just about 30 minutes ago. All of her kids went to Northwood, and she has a student there currently. She tells us she was shocked by the incident, but she really commends how the school handled this situation. And the school's principal sent a letter to families. In that letter, they told families how they were able to receive that anonymous tip, and here's what we learned. They said they received that anonymous tip yesterday on the school's website, Something for them. They have that on their website. Chatham County Sheriff's Office deputies then investigated overnight. The department says on Wednesday, a 14-year-old brought a gun to school, showed a student that gun, then threatened to carry out a school shooting. Deputies showed up at that student's house and took that gun away. And as you said, that added security, we've been seeing deputy cars going in and out of the school campus as the sheriff's office is trying to ramp up their presence there as an added safety precaution. Dan?
Yeah, it shows the importance of that tip system as well. Carly, thank you for the report. These chilling, just chilling 911 calls, they reveal the moments that led up to the deaths of two women in Apex, just rocking that community there. WRL's Chris Lovingood here with the story. Chris, it is hard to hear the victims before these final moments.
I mean, it is. I mean, these types of calls just give context to let people know what exactly things sounded like, what these people experienced during their final moments. These are calls about former Army Captain Harry Hardman. He's the man accused of shooting and killing Gabrielle Raymond, Nancy Taylor, and a dog. We heard a call from Raymond screaming as gunfire is heard before the line goes silent. We also heard from a neighbor who called 911 because he saw Hardman. The neighbor said Hardman was walking throughout his backyard and screaming at the sky. And then, the shooting.
We don't know what caused this. We don't have anything that we have uncovered in our investigation at this time that points to, you know, this was a potential catalyst to this happening.
Apex police say Hardman used a handgun to shoot and kill Raymond and Nancy Taylor. Officers say when they found him in his backyard, he was holding an AR-15 rifle, but was arrested with no other violence, Dan.
Just absolutely tragic. Chris Lovingood, thank you. The power is back on in East Durham this after it was out for nearly 2 days. Many people there and businesses, they lost food when the power went out. Mike D's Barbecue, for instance, they say they lost about $7,000 with lost product and the restaurant having to close down for the day. It's a popular lunch spot. It was forced to close Wednesday after crews making grid improvements there at the Duke Energy substation in Durham caused extensive damage and knocked the power out. The owner says they will have to take the loss because his insurance requires a power outage of at least 72 hours to file a claim.
We employ, 85-90% of our employees live within 5 miles of here. We were closed for 2 days, so that means they earn less money this week. They're also at home losing groceries, sitting in the cold.
It is a tough situation. Duke Energy says people can file a claim for losses due to this outage. You can find a link to do that at WRL.com. An 8-year-old girl in Durham is fighting for her life after being shot last night. The bullet came through the upstairs window of a duplex on Liberty Street where she was staying. The shots were fired around 8 o'clock. They also shattered the windshields of the cars outside. They riddled those car doors with bullet holes. Police say the girl's vital signs are stable at this point. Three other people were also shot in Durham last night. And early this morning, all of them have minor injuries. A local mother is trying to spark some change and a stricter law with more resources. This comes after her son, who had mental health issues, was found dead in a pond in Raleigh. Tonight, WRL's Chelsea Donovan is speaking with the mother, who is hoping to enhance the Silver Alert Law.
He's described by Tamika Armstrong as a joy to be around.
Madison, it was a beautiful, compassionate, and kind spirit.
Late last year, she noticed her 26-year-old son, Madison Armstrong, no longer sparking joy and was more withdrawn.
He became more aggressive towards me and was diagnosed with schizophrenia and bipolar and turned our whole life upside down.
On November 1st of last year, Madison disappeared from his apartment off Rock Quarry Road.
So I called Raleigh PD and I said, hey, I have a son who has a mental health condition. He hasn't returned home.
Raleigh police quickly issued a silver alert based on the criteria that Madison had a mental health issue and was endangered. On November 8th, 7 days later, Madison was found floating in this lake on turf grass court, steps away from his house.
He was mine. And so I'm not as strong as to not cry, to not mourn, but I'm strong enough to fight this battle for him and to fight this battle for other people.
Tamika is now turning her heartbreak into change. She wants to see the silver alert mirror the amber alert.
When you compare the two, they don't get the same attention. They don't get the same urgency.
So she started this petition with about 500 signatures now, and she's also called and emailed more than 170 local lawmakers in hopes to get the silver alert law enhanced. She believes there's a flaw in the system and wants text alerts for silver alerts, DOT signage, just like amber alerts. She believes every minute counts. In 2023, 21 amber alerts were activated. 21 people were successfully located. In 2023, 427 silver alerts were activated. But out of them, only 81 were reported as located or recovered. 39 people were located out of state and 12 were found dead.
Something is broken. Let's fix.
Chelsea Donovan, WRL News, Raleigh.
You feel for that mother. The Armstrongs are still waiting for a toxicology report now to see if that might have contributed to Madison's death. A major downtown development project is headed to Rocky Mount with the dream of transforming a well-known stretch into something a bit more. NSV Development, they plan to revitalize one building on Southwest Main Street and one on South Washington into 36 apartment units and 25,000 square feet of commercial retail space underneath. The price tag on this project currently sits between $16 and $17 million. NSV hopes that it will bring that area from a spot that needs some help to a place where people want to be.
It's got the infrastructure. It's got the bones. It needs a facelift. Everybody can see that. But it's got the right structure in place. And so what NSV Development is hoping, along with the city, is that we can lock arms and we can see this truly come alive and become a vibrant, you know, livable, walkable downtown urban area.
NSV Development hopes to break ground on this project this summer with a completion date of 2025. So North Carolina is being blamed right now for a nationwide delay of death data. The impact it's having on the medical field and the source believed to be the problem here. Also, construction on Interstate 440 hits a bit of a roadblock ahead when traffic will get back to normal near the fairgrounds. There is a delay in nationwide data, and it is tied to our state here in North Carolina. The CDC apparently can't update its mortality information because North Carolina hasn't uploaded all of its death certificates. WRL's data journalist Allie Ingersoll explains why we're behind.
The release of the 2022 national final mortality data will be delayed until the National Center for Health Statistics has complete data. And it currently isn't complete because of a delay in North Carolina. The information released by the National Center for Health Statistics is important to understand public health trends. So the delay affects an understanding of what's happening health-wise nationwide. Back in November, DHHS detected just under 800 partially reported death records. While that may seem like a lot, it's only about 1% of all death records in the state from that year. Toward the end of 2022, the state moved to an electronic submission system. Representatives from DHHS say that that may have contributed to inconsistent or incomplete submissions. But now that the system is up and running, NCDHHS can better detect and address partial reporting. The CDC told WRAL that we're the only state they're waiting on records for, and the state hopes to complete all partial records by the end of February. For WRAL News, I'm Allie Ingersoll.
And Allie tells us that the data is needed to create health programs and policies to address death trends across the country. Two dozen dogs are now safe after an illegal kennel was shut down in Franklin County. And this is according to the sheriff's office. They say, quote, a highly disturbing kennel there was being run by a woman. You see here, Anne Marie Green out of Youngsville. Green has since been arrested. The investigation is ongoing and more charges are expected to be filed. Four protesters charged for blocking traffic on the Durham Freeway will avoid jail time. I'm sure you remember this. It was a huge story at the time. The four people who were arrested were involved in this protest, calling for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. This was back in November. Four members were arrested after that blockade. They were blocking traffic during rush hour. They reached a deal with prosecutors. They will complete 3 months of unsupervised probation, take an in-person driving course, and do community service in exchange for no jail time. A major road project in Raleigh is taking a bit longer than engineers expected. Construction for the Interstate 440 widening project hit a snag, according to the DOT, while preparing to build a temporary roadway. Some soil testing turned up some problems.
We had to then work with the rail folks to get the soil repaired before we could prepare to work.
Crews were planning to finish the project later this year, but now they say they won't be finished until the middle part of 2025. Their next step out here, the construction on the new railroad bridge, which will last into the summer. So this will be the first election for many residents since the photo identification requirement passed last year. Wake County Board of Elections will open tomorrow just to make sure that voters have the ID that they need to make sure that they can vote. The office at 1200 North New Hope Road will open from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. The ID will be free and no appointment is needed. All you need are the last four digits of your Social Security number. You can also get a free ID there on weekdays or through the DMV. Make sure you get those IDs so that your vote can count. The first absentee ballots for the March primary will hit the mail today. You can request an absentee ballot until February 27th. There was a change this year. They must be received no later than 7:30 on Election Day. Received for the primary on March 5th. Of course, we'll continue to remind you of that. Students in Wake Tech's DECA Club spent the afternoon making special blankets to keep shelter animals warm during this bitter cold snap.
We're doing blanket tying for the Humane Society of Wake County. We did this once in the fall, and we're doing it again now to try to finish up with the materials and everything that we have so we can finally get everything donated.
The club president says volunteer work like the blanket making instills a sense of community service in its members. And plus, you got to keep those animals warm. Meteorologist Kat Campbell, an animal lover, joining us now. It has really, really been cold. But the bigger story, I mean, the story keeps changing. The biggest story now are the numbers behind you on the screen.
What a drastic turnaround, Dan. I mean, we've got 17 degrees on our 7-day, and then we've got a couple 70-degree days on our 7-day. So big changes are coming, but a huge shout-out to those students that are making those blankets. The animals are definitely going to need them this weekend before things change next week. But if you are not a fan of the cold weather, just look at these numbers for next week. We have updated the forecast highs. A roaring southwest wind should really help us warm up. 65 Wednesday, 70 on Thursday, and 70 degrees again on Friday, a stretch of warm weather. We've seen below normal temperatures this week thanks to a big dip in the jet stream. And what this does, it funnels all this cold air from Canada that originates in the Arctic all the way down into North Carolina. But we see our jet stream flow changing by the time we get to next week. So here's the setup. The jet stream winds, they're going to go like this. We've got a big ridge of high pressure building in, and that's going to draw in some warmer air, but also more humid air as we get toward the middle and end of next week from the Gulf of Mexico. Well above normal temperatures on the way for next Friday. If you take a live look at Fenton in Cary tonight, check out the ice skaters. Looking pretty good out there for ice skating this evening. It has been windy, but the wind's dying down at this moment. A wind around 5 miles per hour. Earlier, we had some 35 to even 40 mile an hour wind gusts as the Arctic air started to arrive. We're down to 39 right now, and we keep falling from here. By 9 o'clock, we're near freezing. By 11 o'clock, we're at 30. Keep in mind, there's a wind chill with those numbers. And as you wake up tomorrow morning, the wind chill may be closer to just 11 degrees. At least we got the sunshine, right? By lunchtime, 22, the wind chill. And then during the afternoon, wind chills should only be in the mid to upper 20s for us. So it's chilly out there. I think some of the coldest wind chills will actually come late tomorrow night. Tomorrow's highs only make it into the 30s. 34 in Roxborough and South Hill, 36 in Durham and Raleigh, 37 Southern Pines and Rocky Mount, and 39 for Fayetteville and Clinton. I did want to mention the mountains have seen a lot of snow, especially the ski resorts and the higher elevations. It has been dumping snow from some of the ski resort cameras today, so they're really seeing a healthy dose there. That should gradually wind down by early tomorrow. If you are traveling this weekend, though, be prepared to perhaps run into some issues. Locally, we don't have those issues, but there is still snow on the ground or ice extending all the way to Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, still seeing travel issues. Of course, the Midwest being impacted and up into the Northeast. So definitely check your flights. And if you are going to be driving, try to check some DOT cameras, perhaps to the areas you are traveling to. That way you can get a better idea of how the roads are looking around there. Here at home, at least, you know, it may be cold, but we don't have any hazardous travel weather out there. It's just going to be awfully cold for the weekend. 17 Sunday morning, that's the coldest of the season and the coldest low temperature since December 26th of 2022. So it's been a little while. Sunday, we're at 41 for the high. Sounds pretty good compared to 36, right? We get back down into the teens Monday morning, but temperatures begin to recover early next week with highs in the 50s. There are the 60s and 70s in the forecast that I told you about. I will say it comes.
Thank you for being with us here on WRL News on this Friday as we take a look at the glowing North Hills, a place that seems to get busier every day. It's going to be a chilly one this weekend.
We'll continue to keep you updated on the temperatures. Stay with us here on WRAL. Meanwhile, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina acquired more than 50 urgent care centers in the state. It announced this deal this week. Blue Cross said it completed its acquisition of all statewide FastMed locations. FastMed is based out of Raleigh. The cost of the acquisition isn't known. The deal comes 10 years after Blue Cross NC made an initial investment in FastMed. A historic home in Raleigh is on the move. Renowned NC State architect George Matsumoto designed this nearly 70-year-old home. It was slated for demolition before a Raleigh family stepped in and said, we're going to save it. They plan now to move it 7 miles to their own backyard. This evening, the crews, it's amazing work what they do. They made the final preparations to move this house. It's going to hit the road tomorrow before dawn.
Right now.
Well, right now we are set to, they're going to move the house today from its current spot on top of the hill down to the end of the driveway. So it'll be ready to roll, in theory, at 4:30 in the morning.
Who's doing that work? It's amazing. The move is expected to take several hours to go from point A to point B once it reaches its new home on Delmont Drive. The work isn't over. They're going to have to reassemble the entire thing. They'll be busy. The NFL playoffs continue tomorrow, Saturday on Fox 50. The Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. You can watch that game at 8 o'clock on Fox 50. Then it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to Detroit for the divisional playoff. That game is Sunday at 3 on WRAL. Bundle up, watch some football. Thanks for being with us tonight. Have yourself a great weekend.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.